Hello, this is Don Witt with the Channel Daily News from Telecom Reseller. Today, we're speaking with Neil Anderson. He is the Senior Director of Network Solutions at Worldwide Technology. How are you doing today, Neil?
Doing great.
Before we get started, can you give our listeners a little background of your company and what you do within that organization?
Absolutely. So it is a mouthful, Worldwide Technology. We're a systems integrator. We work with a lot of the major companies in the IT space, whether that's Cisco, Dell, EMC, F5, and others, who's who in the zoo. And we help large organizations to be able to adopt their technologies. So large service providers, very large enterprise organizations, as well as very large federal and public sector customers.
Moving forward, we're moving into 2022. And do you have any main predictions for the upcoming year?
Yeah, I'll give you three. I think, you know, we're going to see a lot more in the space of mobility, especially with Wi-Fi 6 and 6E coming along with the new 6 gigahertz spectrum. It's going to provide a lot more bandwidth and channels for IT to be able to deliver a really high quality experience applications on Wi-Fi. Biggest expansion in the bandwidth of Wi-Fi in 20 years, adding the 6 gigahertz spectrum. It's almost tripling the amount of bandwidth for Wi-Fi. So that'll be good. And related to that, I think we're going to see private cellular networks being deployed, cellular networks like LTE being deployed by private organizations for certain applications that may not be suited for Wi-Fi. Maybe you need a private secure comms network, or you need something that's a very reliable and low latency for a manufacturing application or you know, something like that. So that's number one is mobility. Number two, I would say the cloud edge is going to change quite a bit. Secure access service edge technology coming online, it's really going to transform the way that users are connecting to workloads and where you put your policy enforcement. Today, it's kind of suboptimal. This problem has existed for about 20 years where you have to, most customers sort of hairpin their traffic through their data center, and that's where all their security assets are. The idea of delivering that security at the cloud edge is really going to optimize traffic a much better way than it is today and give a much better user experience. And then the third would be infrastructure automation. I think that's going to go mainstream. It's already out there. It's not new, but people are relying on it more and more, especially with IT staffing shortages. I think it's going to be a big deal this year.
So how do you see these new trends and priorities actually affecting the channel?
Well, I think it's going to be a fantastic opportunity for most companies that are either in the channel or providing systems integration and services and consulting of these customer bases, because most of those priorities they're really transformative solutions. It's not like buying a single product and, you know, kind of slamming it in. It's going to be an evolution of the architecture and how they're using these technologies. So it's going to involve both design and implementation, as well as in the case of automation, upskilling their teams, teaching people that may not have programming skill sets how to do the basics of with API calls and programmability. And so I think for channel partners, it's going to be a really fantastic opportunity to show value across the spectrum from the services, consulting, design and implementation, as well as training and upskilling.
So one of those new trends that is emerging pretty rapidly is the secure access and secure edge. Could you expand on the security that SASE provides and how this will actually impact the industry?
Certainly. So the way to think about this is workloads are moving, right? They're becoming everywhere. They're in the private cloud still. They're also increasingly in public cloud and SaaS applications. Most organizations have a hybrid of all three of those going on at any given time. But and users are also everywhere, right? They're in workplaces, hopefully more in the future here, also in home offices and other places. How you connect those users to the workloads is with the legacy network architecture, it really has constrained things quite a bit. There's been a struggle between how do I balance security with user experience? And the idea of this centralized security perimeter is really moving. And that's where SASE comes in. It does a couple of really important things in the architecture. First, it puts the policy enforcement where you need it, which is typically right at the cloud edge. whether you're accessing SaaS applications or public cloud applications, that's going to dramatically improve user experience. It's also going to provide a lot of visibility, and all of that traffic that's flowing there today, it may be flowing directly from someone's home office to the cloud, and IT may not have a lot of visibility into that traffic. But by putting that security edge out there, you can gain that visibility back, as well as do some policy enforcement. Second thing that SASE does is it cloudifies security. So it can get InfoSec team out of the business of toil, patching firewalls, trying to keep the firewall policy synced across hundreds of locations. Just the monotonous kind of work there kind of gets them out of that business and more focused on the real challenges with security. So it's going to fundamentally change the connectivity model and the architecture for branch offices, for home offices, even campus networks.
With the increased activity around SASE in the industry, a lot of companies are looking to take advantage of it, and maybe you can help them provide them with a few little shortcuts when looking at solutions like this. If you could share some of your ideas on do's and don'ts, that would be great.
Okay. Yeah, I'll start with the do's. I think starting with your key requirements around where are your workloads and where are they going to be 2 to 5 years from now? And the same question about your users. Where are they now? Where do you think they're going to be? And really start to think about how are you going to interconnect those two? Second would be carefully evaluate the solutions in the market. There's a lot of marketing out there. Some of the solutions are real. Some of them are slideware, quite frankly. And third would be, you really have to understand how that's going to integrate with your networking architecture. It's nothing that can, you sort of can't adopt a SASE solution in a vacuum. You're going to have to think through, how's this going to affect my SD-WAN? How's it going to affect my end user security strategy? How is it going to affect where I put my workloads and how I'm going to secure those? And then finally, on the do list, I would say, get a consultation going with a partner like WWT that works with hundreds of customers every day that can help you kind of sort out what's real and what's the marketing and help you figure out what the right solutions are for your requirements. The don'ts, I would say, don't get caught up in the marketing hype. SASE is a term that a lot of companies are putting on their websites and their products to try to play in the game. There's a massive disruption going on. And with that comes a lot of land grabs and a lot of marketing. There's a lot of companies out there that are claiming to be SASE players. Some are real and some are not so much. The second thing I would say is the security teams are going to typically be a little bit resistant to SASE because you're taking something that there was within their control and you're moving it out to a cloud service. That can be a little bit threatening to the security organization for a number of reasons. But the thing is that there are some really good security capabilities there that can easily elevate the security posture of most organizations. You want to be able to take advantage of that. And then finally on the don't is, don't think of SASE as a product that you're adopting. Think of it as it's an architectural approach to securing users connecting to workloads. As soon as you kind of make that shift in your mind, it'll be easier to think about the problem and get the right solution in place for yourself.
Okay, so SASE is basically establishing itself out there as a architectural option. How does that really compare between SD-WAN and Wi-Fi 6? And where do you see those things progressing during the year?
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to see a strong relationship between SASE rollouts as what and SD-WAN, because the two are inherently linked a bit. Not so much in the work from home scenario, but certainly in the branch office and other scenario, you're going to see SD-WAN solutions integrating pretty tightly with the SASE solution to be able to secure traffic. Wi-Fi 6, a little bit of a different motion. I think that's more about providing high-speed access to the edge, but in doing so, that is going to enable a lot more access to applications and the need to access those applications more directly. And so again, I think you'll see some relationships with SASE deployments going on there as well.
Another trend that you actually already touched on a little bit was the use of private cellular networks, such as private 5G, LTE, to digitally transform different industries. Would you be able to expand on that a little bit further and exactly what you were seeing there.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a new technology coming on the scene. It goes by many terms. You may have seen the terms CBRS, private cellular, private wireless, or private LTE. They're really referring to the idea of running a cellular network by a private organization. So typically cellular networks, everybody's familiar with those. The mobile operator companies build towers and we all get great cellular service out there. With private networks, we're not so much talking about private companies building a lot of cell towers. It's a little bit more about microcells and covering their indoor areas. There may be some outdoor areas as well within their campuses. But the nice thing about it is that there are some things that are inherent in that technology that make it a bit more predictable. So applications that may not be well suited for Wi-Fi may find themselves much more suited for a private wireless solution or a private LTE solution. We're going to see that a lot, I think, in the manufacturing space. We're going to also see it in energy and utility companies. There's a high interest there in using those networks for secure communication networks, private communication networks. Warehouse settings as well, I think we'll see it where, think about wireless scanners in the warehouse. That's a real challenge on Wi-Fi. There's a lot of problems with that. Scanners disconnecting from the Wi-Fi network, et cetera. But think about the improvement in the work quality and productivity if you can have a more predictable experience putting those on a cellular network within the warehouse. And I think we'll see it in healthcare as well. It's emerging as a solution. It's not certainly not mainstream yet, but we do think we're going to see it in 2022 really starting to take off for those organizations that need it. It won't be a solution for everyone, but for those organizations that need that, we think it's going to be a pretty good solution.
Okay, a couple real quick questions here before we wrap it up. Which technology do you really think is going to be the most important for networking and the channel in 2022? And what are some of the skills that companies are going to need to learn for this coming year?
Yeah, I would say the most important skill and technology is really going to be around automation and programmability. Every network engineer is going to have to learn the basics of programmability. How do I make API calls? What is an API? How do I write a piece of code? What are the essentials of configuration control, like using GitHub? And also data manipulation. Ultimately, you're going to need to, typically you're making API calls to extract some information, and then you're going to manipulate that, and then you're going to act upon that, maybe send a command back to the network to do something different. But a lot of those skill sets are not inherent. Known by network engineers, right? Some of them may have gone to school for, software programming and be very familiar with it. Others, maybe not so much. They maybe have come up through a different path. And so those skill sets are going to be, I think, really essential for network engineers in particular as we go forward. Everything is really shifting to a world of API calls and programmability.
Where can our listeners find out a little bit more?
Yeah, certainly. We've got a lot of information. If you just go to wwt.com, we've got a lot of information. All the topics we've talked about, you can find there. You can read up on SASE and what we're doing there, including who do we think are some of the best offers on the market. You can find some great opportunities on our, join one of our automation and programmability meetups that we do just to share knowledge with the network engineers that are out there. They don't have to be our customers. You can certainly take advantage of those. And, Wi-Fi and private wireless, you can find information there about what the top solutions are in the market and how are people using them and deploying them. So that's wwt.com.
This is Don Witt with the Channel Daily News from Telecom Reseller, speaking with Neil Anderson. He is the Senior Director of Network Solutions at Worldwide Technology. Neil, I think it's going to be one heck of an exciting year, and there's going to be a lot of things happening, and people are going to have to stay tuned and check out WWT to see some of the latest and best implementations for that technology.
Yeah, certainly. It's going to be a busy year, Don. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Thank you.